Welcome back to the Golly Young Men Podcast, episode 96. We thank you so much for joining us. We are talking marriage today with this episode. It has been a bit of a while since we talked about marriage. I think we've had some early on. I think you got on here October 2023. We discussed some of this, but obviously marriage being a big part of a Golly Young Man's life, big part of your thoughts. And so what we want to do is focus a little bit more on this idea of preparing for marriage and kind of, obviously, as you see in the title bar, four must-haves that you have to have before you get married. And so, yeah, as we're talking about today, Joe, what thoughts do you have as we kind of introduce this?
Yeah, so I've been teaching at Nashville School of Preaching, the structure of the biblical home or structure of the biblical family. And this is kind of the culmination of class. We're in our weeks 12 and 13, and we came down to, okay, let's build from the ground up. If we were to build a godly home that's going to combat all of the craziness of the culture, that's going to do what God wants us to do, do what He intended from the very beginning, where would we start? And what we came to in the class, which I think is correct, I mean, I was leading it, but letting everybody else kind of discuss
it. That's good that you think it's correct, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, like, just put it up on the board, like, that's horrible, but no, everything is, I think, it laid out perfectly of, it starts with a young man understanding himself, having four different things, I think, that really need to be in place in order to start a biblical family. In order to, and the family obviously affects the church, and the church affects society. So it boils down to this, and we don't want to overblow it or you know, say that this is the biggest thing, but in reality, if you have these things, and if you can consistently grow in these things, this is the foundational principles that will, or these are the foundational principles that will build society ultimately. If we had a bunch of godly young men that were willing to have these four must-haves, man, I'm telling you, it could change things so quickly. Where we're going wrong in society really is because these things are falling apart.
Well, we've said before, we would encourage you to seek marriage. We would encourage you to make that a goal. I mean, marriage is a very healthy thing. It's a valuable thing. We've talked about our debate before of married young versus married, you know, later in life. Married young, I think, is probably better. Here's the catch, though. You need to be ready. You do not need to rush into marriage unprepared or, you know, again, these must-haves is kind of the foundation of the episode. Like, if you don't have these things, maybe you should consider holding off on marriage or maybe not pursuing it quite as strongly. And so, tough balance, you say, you know, easier said than done, and you're probably right. You say, hey, get married early, but also got to have these things. It can be done, is I guess what we'd say. And because what I would also caution young men against is like, well, I got to wait till I'm like pretty, you know, I got to wait till I'm pretty solid in life to where I get married. Not necessarily, but we would agree that you need to have all these things.
And here's what I'll say. You're not going to be perfect in all these areas. We're just going to give this general statement at the beginning. You have to be willing to grow into these. You have to be growing into these, actively growing into these. Sure. So you may not have accomplished, you know, the end all. And some of these you're going to be accomplishing for the rest of your life. At the same time, if you don't have an active interest in these things, and if you're not actively growing, you're not ready for marriage. So let's get started on the first. The first one is your own faith. You have to have your own faith. You cannot fake this in your marriage. You can't have the faith of your parents or even the faith of your girlfriend or future spouse and think that that's going to be strong enough of like, well, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with what you have. No, she believes this for this reason. Why do you believe it? Or your parents believe it because of this reason. Why do you believe it? If you don't have your own why nailed down, if you don't have your own faith nailed down as to why this matters to you and how you come to God and things like that, once again, you cannot fake that in marriage and think that you're going to lead your family strongly, lead your wife appropriately in the eyes of God and to the glory of God when you're faking it till you make it. It just doesn't work that way.
You see this with young guys who maybe throughout their teenage years, maybe they're in the youth group or they go to church, but not really paying attention in the sermon. They're not really taking notes in Bible class. Maybe they're on their phone a little bit more.
They come because their parents want them to come.
Right, they show up, they attend. You know, maybe there's a cute girl there that they, you know, got their eye on, so they'll be there, but they're not putting any effort in. And so, guess what? When they get old enough to have their own faith, or they grow up and have their own family, they don't have their own faith because they just wasted 8-10 years of being in the church where they could have gotten a lot of Bible knowledge, could have picked up a lot of things from maybe some older Christians. That's a problem. And so, I guess that would be my caution: is, man, if you're 15, 16, 17, 18 right now, pay attention during church. Listen to the sermons. Write down, you know, take notes in Bible class and all these things. And, you know, we don't want you to get to the point where you have your own family and your Bible knowledge is like that deep and you don't really know how to have a solid faith. Like, that's a problem.
Because if your goal isn't to lead your wife and your family closer toward heaven, closer to God, what is the purpose of marriage? It is to reflect Christ in the church. Marriage is a construct that means nothing to the world. That's why they're willing to cheapen it with homosexuality and everything else. You know, or polyamory is a big one now, and marriage can be whatever we want. No, it can't.
Yeah.
No, it can't. Marriage is specifically from God between a man and a woman, and it's for a very specific reason, which is to reflect Christ in the church, to bring God glory, and for a man to raise up, take dominion, and to have a helpmeet who raises a godly family unto the Lord. This is numero uno. If you can't get your faith right, and if you can't pass down a faith, you can't pass down what you don't have, right? If you don't have your own faith, literally the purpose of marriage is void. There is no reason to pursue marriage if you don't have this. So here's a few things that I think it'll take.
You go ahead. That's what I was going
to
start on.
A few things that I think it'll take. First, you need to be in a good church. Well, I come to God in my own way. No, you don't. No, you don't.
We don't do that here.
Exactly. Church is a bunch of hypocrites. You're exactly right. How about you go and try to fix that, right? You go and be the best one that you can be there and try to lead other people in that way. Of course, we're full of a bunch of hypocrites. We're all, you know, we come as sinners. We're leaving as saints, right? As we are in church, like, find a good church and be involved in that church. It's not enough to just go, yeah, I go to church. My parents have gone here for a bazillion years. That's great. Are you involved? And not just involved in the youth group where you go to the pizza party to play laser tag. Like, are you, sorry, I have a problem with youth group. Are you actively involved? Are you looking for ways to lead? Are you looking for ways to grow? That doesn't mean you need to be up there preaching from the pulpit, but it means you need to be looking out for the elderly members. You need to be texting or making a phone call to your buddy who's not showing up to church. Hey, man, where were you today? You need to be involved in the ways you can be involved in order to have your own faith.
If Joe ever brings up youth groups, he's going to bring up pizza and laser tag.
Yeah, every time. That's the combo.
That's his combo to use.
Every time.
I'm going to speed run these last few.
Go for it.
Having your own faith. You need to be grounded in apologetics.
Yep.
By that, I mean you need to know why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe the Bible's inspired? Oh, I don't know, because I've always gone to church. Not a good enough reason. Why do you believe God exists? Well, because my parents told me. Not a good enough reason. You need to know why. We've talked about apologetics before. My dad's written. We had the book episode where I brought up two apologetics books. Yep. So if you're like, man, I need to know more about apologetics, go watch that or listen to that episode, and we've got those two books there. You need to know how to prove that God exists, how to prove the Bible's inspired, all these things. You need to have a good study and prayer life. Had episodes on that as well. We're not going to spend a ton of time here, but if you are shaky in your Bible study, if you're shaky in your prayer life, that's an area that you need to strengthen up before, because you're about to be leading your wife. You're about to be leading your family in good study and good prayer life, and so you need to that's how you have your own faith, is really getting that under control. You need to have your own why. I should probably let you talk about that. That's kind of your thing, so I'll hit the last one, and then I'll let you wrap us up here. Make sure you have positive influences in your life. Good Christian people. They don't all have to be 30, 40-year-olds. You know, we're big on mentorship, but we understand you're going to gravitate towards people your own age. Make sure they're quality people. Make sure they are good, solid Christian influences, you know, whether it be at your church, maybe if you end up going to college, whatever it is, like, make sure that you surround yourself with good, healthy Christian influences, because that's going to do numbers for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Yeah.
You have to have people around you. But having your own why is... you just have to know why you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Like, that is the foundational principle to all of these things. Why do you believe what you believe? And the reason this is number one before we move on, if you are taking the faith of your wife and you say, well, my wife basically has enough faith for the both of us. She's got Bible knowledge.
You see this with a lot of couples and it's not good.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, that's her taking the lead and she's just trying to drag you along until you're willing to take up the mantle. It would be a much healthier relationship. Look, sometimes you get married and your wife knows more than you. That's perfectly fine. At the same time, it's a very healthy relationship when a man comes in and he knows the Bible and he knows the Word. He's got a great relationship with God, and he's able to call her up to something rather than her pushing him up to where he needs to be. You want to already be there. The other thing I didn't have on here, but you need to get any sin, lingering sin, the porn and things like that out of your life to the best of your ability ahead of time.
At least be working on them.
Yeah. At least be working. You're not going to be perfect entering the marriage. Nobody is, but at least be working on them, or you know, don't think that, well, that'll solve all my problems when I get married. No, it won't. You need to make sure that you are, anything that's taking you away from faith in God, that's making your relationship with God rocky, handle that. The reason why I had on here positive influences is because that really leads into number two, which is a godly young man needs to have before marriage.
This is your second must-have.
The second must-have. First must-have, he has to have his own faith. The second must-have, you have to have your own support system. You have to have your own support system. It is not healthy to make your future wife your everything. You do see this where it's like, she's my best friend and she's my confidant and she's all these things. That's fantastic. That's great. And you don't hang out with any other guys. You have nobody that really holds you accountable on any other area. Your relationship with your parents and with your family isn't all that great. But hey, it doesn't matter, because I have my girlfriend and we're close enough. that's not going to cut it. Because what happens when you guys have a tussle and you guys start doing this and fighting, that will happen in a relationship. Where do you turn then? Where do you go? Who holds you accountable to be the best version of yourself? She was holding you accountable, and now you're mad at her. And so where do you go now? You need to have other influences in your life who can push you to be better.
A strong support system is so huge. I'm a big believer in this. It's one of those things that if you want your marriage to get off to a great start, I would feel like I have been blessed to where my first 5 years of marriage have been fantastic, just excellent. And I would be a fool to say that was all my doing. Me and my wife are just so great. That's why our marriage just, started off so well. No, it's maybe some of that, but also we had a really good support system in the sense of I had really good friends. I had Joe and Jack. I had, some other people that as far as friends go that I didn't feel like if I didn't have my wife, well, who am I going to hang out with? What am I going to do? Like, I didn't feel that way. But then also with family, obviously family is a huge part of that to where we are going to have, they're there if I need to ask him a question. If I'm, my dad has been great. I'm like, Dad, what are your thoughts on this? Like, that's what we mean by support system. And so a strong relationship with your family, we just talked about holidays last week and a big focus of that being your family. You're going to need some support early on in marriage. Maybe you'll be really blessed financially early on to where you won't have to worry about money, but maybe sometimes you're going to need a little bit of help. And I'm not trying to say you should always go to your parents if you need financial help. Please don't mishear me here. But my point is, you need to have people that you can look around and go, they've got our back. Like, we've got some support. We've got some advice, some wisdom, some guidance here if we need it. Family, when you said support system, I know you're talking about friends and accountability partners and all that's great. My mind immediately went to family.
Oh, yeah. That's so big. Yeah. Strong relationship with your family. Yeah, absolutely. That is, honestly, I think that's key. If you have a really bad relationship with your mom, you're not going to treat your wife well. That's just we know that from history. Seeing this all the way through history, like if your relationship with your mom is poor, it will probably be poor with your wife because it's not great. Doesn't mean you have to be BFFs with your mom, but it does mean you need to treat her well. There needs to be a level of respect. There needs to be a level of care. And that's going to translate. But yeah, when it comes to the friends, when we talk about having friends that push you to be better, sometimes being better is go make it right with your wife. Stop being a knucklehead, right? You need somebody who's willing to push you back.
Hey man, you're out of line here.
Exactly. Yeah. And you want your wife to have the same. Unfortunately, you see this a lot more with female than male friends, but like, oh, he's just toxic. You need to get away from him, right? So you'll see this in the female realms where a lot of the female friends will take their own personal relationship with their husband, which may be negative, and kind of project, and you need to leave him, girl, and things like that. You don't want that. You want her to have a good relationship. You need to be aware of who her friends are, what her influences are. But you want to have the same where guys that are going to cause you, iron sharpens iron, right? They cause you to be better. Sometimes that means pushing you back toward your wife and saying, make it right. Get us to number three.
Yeah, number three, must have. You need to have your own sense of self. Similarly to what we said a second ago, you cannot find all your self-esteem in your wife. If you do, you will be disappointed in the sense of like, she cannot be your emotional rock, as we've said before. She cannot be your main source of self-esteem. That's too much of a burden on her. And she's not, and no matter how much she, how much you guys are in love and how much she says she loves you, she didn't sign up for that.
Right.
She did not sign up to be your number one source of self-esteem. And so I love that you put this on here, Joe, because I feel like for guys, they can view marriage as kind of the thing that saves them, the thing that really makes them feel needed and the thing that makes them feel wanted and valuable. And I think that's a huge blessing in marriage, absolutely. Is that your wife does need you and your wife does want you and you can derive some of that. I do not derive all my self-esteem from my wife. I just don't. I'm confident enough in myself and I'm, to know that, she needs me, she wants me, but there's other sources to it. And that's not a bad thing. I think if you're one of those guys that are putting all your eggs in the basket of, what does my wife think of me? Am I enough for my wife? First of all, as I already said, she didn't sign up for that. But number two, that's going to lead you towards doing things to make her happy that might not always be the best thing for the family. Does that make sense?
Oh, like, absolutely.
Obviously, you make your decisions based on, what is she going to think of this decision? Oh, she's not going to like it. Well, then maybe I shouldn't do it. You need to take your wife's feelings into account. You're the decision maker. And so those are just kind of the two of the problems I see with that. Right. What other thoughts do you have on that?
Yeah, the buck stops with you, so you're going to be the one answering, right, for it either way. That's exactly where I was going to go. That's such a good point of, your wife is very important, taking her into consideration. You have to do that. But a guy who's not confident will always find himself taking it, yes, dear, yes, ma'am, okay. That's not leading. That's not leadership. And she doesn't respect you if you
do that
either.
That's what I was going to say. Let me say this. We've said this probably 10 other times. Your wife will respect you and be more attracted to a man who gets his self-esteem from other places.
And she who just tells will. Her no sometimes. Yeah. And it takes self-esteem to tell your wife no. You can't stand up to your wife if your self-esteem is derived, which is exactly the point you were making. Yeah, that's exactly it. The respect part that Will's hitting is spot on. Like, she's not going to respect you. And you that's what a wife is supposed to do, Ephesians 5, right? You see a husband love your wife, and wives respect your husbands. Respect is big for a man, and if you don't feel worthy of respect, why should she respect you? You have to feel worthy of respect and do things that are worthy of respect, which means get all the stuff that's taking respect away from you. Get all of that out. So the other things I have before we get to how to build it, you see too many guys that they don't really know who they are. They aren't confident in themselves. They don't have an identity of who they are, and they lack confidence, which leads to their wife leading. But you have to know who you are. You have to know what you're about. You have to know what matters to you, things like that. But in how to build it, yes, do things that make you proud of you. Mm-hmm. Go to the gym. Get rid of all the vices, the porn and the video games, the addictive video games, and all the things that are kind of, you know, taking you away from you and taking you away from reality. Get rid of all of those vices. Start talking to people. Start doing all of the things that, you know, working hard at your job and getting A's on the tests and things like that. Respect you. Do things that when you look in the mirror, you go, man, I like who Joe is. And not in an arrogant way, but in a, I'm confident in me. I'm confident I can get the job done. I'm confident I don't have these big elephants in the room that are like, please don't look at this. Don't look at this. Make sure that everybody is seeing the facade of you. Let them see you. Be confident in you. And if you have things that are holding you back from that, get rid of them.
Yeah, I think of, you know, the guys, as we've talked about before, who a little overweight, don't exercise, maybe a little bit too addicted to their video games or their Netflix binges or whatever it is, and they get married, and typically that gets worse, not better. And so what we'd encourage you to do is kind of have a grip on that. Yep. Early on. Like, we don't want you to think that we're saying you have to be perfect and that you have to just be this mature 50-year-old when you get married at 22. Of right. course not. But you need to have a handle on these things. You need to have at least a strong grasp of this to know, like, man, I really am struggling with my diet, my exercise right now. Here's what I'm gonna do to kind of improve this and get out of this so that I can look in the mirror and sure, maybe I'm not my target weight, but I know I'm going to the gym this week and I know I'm gonna be staying away from these things this week. So I can look at myself and have this positive sense of self. You haven't even brought your wife into this yet. And that's the point we're getting at here. So anything else to add before we get into the fourth one?
Yeah, real fast.
Yeah.
Develop a good relationship with your dad.
Oh, yeah. The father figure. That on
no,
there,
you're all good. You need to, in terms of establishing your own sense of self, do the things that make you proud of you. Get rid of the other things. Everything Will just talked about. But also develop a good relationship with your dad, if at all possible. This is pivotal to a man's self-esteem. When your dad believes in you, when your dad, and look, sometimes we have dads, we recorded an episode on this where there's sometimes aloof dads or dads that are emotionally unavailable and things like that. That's really difficult. Sometimes all you're waiting for is for a father figure to go, man, I'm proud of you and you did great. Pursue that. That's okay. It's okay to pursue that. Surround yourself with other guys at church. If your dad isn't that way, find a mentor, somebody that can say, I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. That matters so much in building our own self-esteem and sense of self-worth. We go, man, I can lead this family. You need to know I can lead this family and that's okay. I am not scared to do so. I know what I'm about. Everybody's scared to do so to a certain degree. So, you know, not to be idealistic, like everybody's a little bit scared to lead the family, but like I'm confident that I could do this job. It helps to have that. And the last thing is you need to ask yourself, why do I believe this to everything? We talked about knowing your why. Building self-esteem is where you can step into a situation and go, here's why I believe what I believe.
Yeah.
That is self-confidence. Instead of like, oh, boy, I don't know. What do you think? You know, I really don't know. If you do that with too many things, you don't know yourself. Yeah. You don't know what matters to you. And so
being afraid of failure comes into this as well.
Yeah, like that's very true.
Not choosing to not make decisions or not take a stance on something because you're worried it might be, man, is this the right decision? Or am I like, you're going to make mistakes, but you have to be willing to stand on your ground, I guess, is
and
what I would say.
Go back to your support system for that, yeah, right? Knowing exactly. That if I fall, they still love me, but also give me your advice. How can that help? So don't be afraid of failure. Those are all in the own sense of self. Go ahead and get us into the last one.
Yeah, so four must-haves. We've talked about, I just scrolled up here, your own faith. That's the first one.
Yeah, your own faith.
Your own faith, your own support system, your own sense of self. Number four, and this, I would argue, might actually be the toughest. Maybe your own faith would also be the toughest, but I think this is probably the toughest. You have to have your own vision. You must have your own vision. And why I say this might be the toughest is because when you're 19, 20, 21 years old, thinking about marriage and thinking about these decisions, it sometimes can be very tough to be vision and future minded.
Yep.
Cause you're like, man, you're so maybe centrally focused on the present right now with this girl that hopefully you're in love with. And you're so excited about the future. it can be really tough to have this vision of where do I want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? What about my kids? What about what I want to do for my career? All these things. Like, sometimes that can just get lost. And so when you talk about your own vision here, Joe, the first line you have on here, if you don't have a vision for yourself and your future family, then you're not ready for marriage. I do agree. I don't think you need to have a well thought out, robust 5 year, 10 year, 15 year plan necessarily.
Sure.
But I think you need to kind of have a mental idea of like, okay, in 5 years is where I plan to be in my job or my career, whatever it is. We plan to start having kids around this time. We plan to have this many kids. I plan to do these things in my church and serve in these ways. Like, trust me, y'all know I'm the biggest believer in planning things and having a plan for things. That's all we're talking about here, is having a vision for your family. Because if you get into, we talked about starting your own business a couple episodes ago. You got to have your own vision when starting a business. With a family, you need to have a vision for what is our family Bible times going to look like? Am I going to homeschool my kids? What about discipline? How am I going to raise them? You can't get into a marriage and, you know, talk to your wife and be like, okay, so what do you think? What's your vision? Like, no, that's not her job.
Right.
That's your job as the husband to have the vision. And of course you consult with her and talk with her and, you know, what's our vision as a family, but you have to initiate that and you kind of have to be the leader in that. That's right. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. We have on here, you know, the vision includes career path. I don't think if you're bouncing from job to job and you're working at Starbucks and working at, you know, Target and working at other places, and we'll kind of see where we go from here. And, you know, I'm making like 16 bucks an hour, and, you know, she makes some good money too. And so together, I think we can afford an apartment, and we'll just kind of see where it goes from here. That's not vision.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's not vision. It's like, what do you mean where we go from here? You're not gonna be able to bring kids into that. You're not gonna be able, like, you're gonna be behind the ball constantly. What we want is godly young men who go, look, I'm working at Starbucks and I'm working at Target, but I'm also going to school for engineering and I'm going to be an engineer, and this is what it's going to take to get me there. I'm fine with you working at those places, though. I'm, you know, not the godliest of places, I suppose. Sometimes we can boycott those places, but Starbucks and Target, not getting into those. But like, it's okay to be working at the local gas station. I think you need to be more stable in a job before you get married. But my point is, do you have the vision as to where you're going? We don't all step into the role of like, well, I'm an engineer and I make $300,000 a year. Probably not at 20. Do you have a goal? Do you have a plan to get there? So I think career
for that goal.
Yes, yeah. Career path is huge. And no, not job path. Career path. What is going to be your career?
So I'll hit the last three, Joe. I want you to talk about this next one you have on here, because you've done a lot of premarital counseling.
Yeah.
You've asked a lot of couples this next question. The next one we have on here is, the vision needs to include what the purpose of your marriage is.
Yep.
I think that's a very interesting discussion. And I'll be honest, if Joe had done our premarital counseling, myself and Rachel's, and he'd asked, hey, what's the purpose of your marriage going to be? I don't know that I would have given a good answer at the time. I was 19 years old. And so I'm curious from your perspective, Joe, mainly like, what to you is a good answer for that? Obviously, again, a lot of young engaged couples, they're kind of infatuated. They're just in love, and they're not really thinking much about, you know, the purpose necessarily, other than to maybe serve God and things like that. So what answer are you looking for with that question when you ask?
I'm always interested to see where they gravitate toward more than anything.
Yeah.
Some people are going to gravitate toward the friendship side, the purpose of the marriage, just the next step in the relationship. You know, we're good friends and we just think that it goes there. I don't like that answer because this is more than just the next level of a friendship. What I'm looking for, you can go with the ultra spiritual, which is it's to, as I talked about, show Ephesians 5 to look like Christ, to mirror Christ in the church, things like that. Yes, that's true, but then I'll go, okay, what does that actually look like?
Yeah.
In my opinion, the purpose of the marriage, you're looking back to the very beginning of time. What was the purpose of marriage? It was for man to take dominion and for a wife to help and to leave something to the kids, to pass on the same thing to the kids. Mm-hmm. That triune element of father and mother and the kids, very much like the Trinity, right? Like, that is the foundational piece of society. You are a cog in the wheel of society in that way, trying to give it unto God, trying to take dominion in what you're supposed to, because then you go, what's the purpose of your life, man? Like, if you have to ask the question for the man, what is the purpose of your life? I don't know, just have fun and whatnot. Like,
bebop through life.
Through life. Like, no, you have to have a purpose for why are you here? God has put you on planet Earth for something, and it is to take dominion. You go back to the dominion mandate. So where does marriage fit into this? I can't fulfill my dominion adequately without having a wife. And this is also, there's no way to pass it on to the future, to the next generation. So leading the family needs to be something along, you know, I think that's what needs to come into the purpose of marriage is, yes, you're a cog in a bigger wheel, but it's about fulfilling what our purposes are while on planet Earth. And there's no better way to do it than basically to establish a family.
And this ties into the next few things you have on here is, your vision needs to include the tone you want to set in your home. Are you going to kind of allow, and I'll tie in the next one, what you want your wife to be and to do? Is your wife going to be calling the shots? Is your wife going to be kind of the, well, she's kind of the mood setter of the house. If she's in a good mood, then we're all in a good mood.
Right.
You got to decide ahead of time that's not going to be the case. Are you going to be a home that raises their voices at each other and that yells a lot? Are you going to be a home where there's no, not a lot of structure, or maybe there is a lot of structure, maybe too much structure? Like, these are things, and again, a lot of 20-year-olds are not thinking about this. I would be lying if I told you I was thinking about every single one of these things when I was getting married at 19 years old. But we are not that much older. I'm 24. Joe's 34. I think, no, I'm just kidding. Joe's a little, Joe's 30.
Watch
it. But it wasn't that long ago we were in this spot. And so we are trying to do what we can to kind of look back and say, these are things that would be helpful to think about. Again, with your wife, is she going to stay at home? Or is she going to work? What are your expectations going to be for her? How you want to raise your kids, we kind of already talked about. What's the discipline going to look like? How old are you going to, or how old are they going to be when you let them have a phone? Like, all these things kind of need to have a vision for, I would say.
Yeah, you don't have to have everything figured out, but the answer of like, well, we'll just cross the bridge when we get there. A lot of times, social pressures, right? Peer pressure comes in, emotion comes in the moment. It gets a lot harder to make some of these decisions then. You don't necessarily need to have everything planned out as much as you need to be thinking about the next step going forward. And so, yes, I mean, the tone is to me one of the biggest ones. Yeah. We've talked about it before, you being the tone setter. What happens in the home, what you do here and what you don't do here, I just disciplined my son the other day, and that's one of the biggest things that I talked about. I was like, son, we don't hit each other. That's not what we do here. You don't hit your brother. That's not what we do in this family. Because you could look out and it's like, well, some people, I suppose they do, right? But that's not what we do in this family. Big, and I want him thinking that way.
A big example for us was like talking back. I don't think I ever got in trouble for talking back, because I just knew if I ever did that, it was like the end of my life, basically. Yeah. Like, we didn't talk back.
That's not what you do here.
That's not what we do here. And, right. And so similarly, yeah, I like that example that you brought up.
So that's what we're talking about with the vision, is having an understanding of where you want the family to go, what you want it to be about. How are you going to serve the Lord? Some are evangelistic, and that's great. But others, it's just the day by day, consistently, we're going to raise godly, faithful kids unto the Lord. That's the best we can provide. Or the man's going to say, I'm going to take a leadership role. I want to be an elder in the church. So we have these aspirations and these goals. Most 18, 19, 20-year-olds aren't thinking about that, and that's okay to a certain degree. The reason why the vision is important is because I see a lot of guys that get into marriage, they don't know what they're about, they don't know where they're going, they don't know what life is about, and then somewhere along the way, they look at their wife and go, so what do you think?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean, what do you think? Where do we go from here? They don't know, because they've kind of been bebopping along, and then the marriage starts to strain because they don't have a clear direction and a vision. Adam had all of these things. He did have something to pursue. He had a vision. You're going to go tend the garden. You're going to name the animals. You're going to, you know, you're going to avoid the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? He had law. He had relationship. He had purpose and value and structure and a vision for what to do. Eve hadn't been created yet.
Yep.
Eve comes in to help him in those areas. So we look at it and we go, well, I guess I'll just ask Eve about where I should go in life.
Like, see what Eve thinks.
Yeah. Good luck. She's not there. She hasn't been created. Adam, you have a goal. You have a vision, go do it.
Right.
And then he goes and does it and goes, man, this is, you know, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. Nobody's like him, right? There's no, he can't just marry a giraffe. Like, there's got to be something here, somebody that's like him. And so God provides that for him. Adam had vision. That's really what it goes back to. And that's why we're talking about this, why we're passionate about this. So this takes several things. We're just going to run through this very fast.
But I think all four of these are really, really important.
Correct. We don't want to rush through to the point where we miss them. First, it takes perspective. Life is about more than you and your happiness.
Yep.
This is where the vision comes in of, does the vision include other people? Does it include your wife? Does it include your kids? We talk a lot about thinking generationally, the 250 years. I think we talked last week about the 250 years. It's really important to maintain perspective in this, that it's like, well, we're just good friends and we just want to have a good time in life. And you know, we get along so well and I love her. And obviously we want to be sexual and things like that. So it's just kind of the next thing to do. Okay, that's great. You're happy now. What about 5 years, 10 years, 50 years? Are we thinking down the line? Are we thinking about the kids, the grandkids, what we're going to be doing in that? Because too many people don't think about the kids. And then the next thing that ends up happening is like, well, the kids have fallen away and they have a horrible relationship and they're dyeing their hair blue and turning transgender and they hate your guts because you voted for Trump and they're never showing up to the holidays again. And how did this happen to good Christian kids? The dad didn't have any vision and he had no perspective as to like, man, I am a much bigger cog in a wheel that goes round. I have to play my part. And instead of playing his part, he went, well, I'm an individual and you're an individual and I guess we'll just get there someday. No, you won't. You have to have perspective and think outside yourself and think generationally.
Second thing this takes is consistency. if you are kind of sporadic with your vision and you're all really amped up about family Bible time for 2 months and then it kind of goes by the wayside and you're, you know, really amped up about, you know, this new thing you want to do with your family and this tradition or whatever, and then it just kind of go, like, specific, and with discipline especially, if you're like, you know, go for a week or two of being really, you know, strict discipline wise and then you kind of fade off because you're tired or whatever, like, that's not going to work. You have to be consistent there. You have to kind of be a steady stream. Doesn't mean you can't have maybe your slight ups and your slight downs. Obviously, nobody's a robot. Like, we're not going to be just, you know, stay the exact same week to week, day to day. But you need to have a level of consistency with expectations and then kind of the way you follow up with your family. I think discipline is a big one with that as well. I'll hit the third one.
I was going to say, you're good on this one. Yep.
Growth mindset. This is really, really important. And what this takes for vision and really for a lot of these other things. You need to have a growth mindset. You do not need to have a plateau mentality of, well, if I, okay, I've kind of hit this point and I'm kind of good to relax now. You need to be thinking, how can I grow? How can I grow spiritually as a dad, as a husband? What can I do to grow in those ways as a Christian? How can I grow in service to my congregation? But also, how can I grow in my business? How can I grow in my career? How can I grow in all these things? The most successful, and I do think the happiest people in life are the ones who are continually trying to grow. They don't make leaps and bounds every day, but they're continually trying to grow, reading books, that kind of thing. You need to have that, is what I would say.
Last is delayed gratification.
That's really
having your own vision takes delayed gratification. The immediate thing is I just want to have fun. The immediate thing is let's just get married and we'll figure it out because that's immediate gratification. The delayed gratification is going, I need to know where I'm going in life. I need to have a career first. I want to marry you more than anything. I love you to death. And if we could get married tomorrow and move in, I would love to do that. But I'm also a year into school, or I'm 2 years into school, and I have a vision as to, I want to be this. And it's going to cost too much, be too much of a distraction, whatever. We have to be able to delay gratification. You think about child rearing, the fastest, easiest way is just scream at the kid and tell them what to do. And yes, sir. You know, and they get into it.
Or chuck an iPad in front of them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Shove the iPad in front of them. Like, okay, great. That's an immediate gratification. Whew, okay. Well, they finally settled down. My son, he's happy. Or he finally listened to me because I yelled at him enough. You lost the heart. You won the battle, lost the war, right? You lost the heart long term. You got to be able to delay gratification for a second. Do the hard things that it's going to be a long term process. That's what men do, is we think long term. We don't just go for the immediate rewards. That's why porn and things like that are so bad, is it's so instant gratification. Real men delay gratification and realize, going back to the perspective point, this takes some time.
With finances as well. Of course, I'll be the one that brings that up. You know, that's a great point. Slick new car. Maybe you don't need the 2025 version. Maybe you can settle for the 2017, 18, 19, whatever. Like, maybe you can eat at home and you don't have to go get fast food nonstop and all these things. And again, we've had episodes on that. You can enjoy things. There's nothing wrong with that. Sure. But this delayed gratification of, I want to build a future to where I don't have to work maybe quite as much. I can spend more time with my family. I can go on more trips and have more fun, enjoy this life more later. I'm not going to be an idiot with money when I'm young. Again, we've talked about money before, but I wanted to add that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Delayed gratification for a lot of different things is what I would say. So, yeah, I mean, this, I really appreciate Joe's the one to put this outline together. I really appreciate him putting all this thought into this, because we don't believe you have to be perfect to get married. We don't believe you've got to just have everything ironed out to where you're just this model citizen at age 19 or 20 years old before you get married. You need to have a firm grasp on all four of these things.
You need to be working toward them, consistently, actively working toward them. So have your own faith, have your own support system, have your own sense of self, and have your own vision as to where you want to go. We're not idealistic with it. We are giving these as a way to say, work on this, be aware of these things. These may not have been on your radar at all. That's okay. That's why we're putting them out there, is put these things on your radar. Be thinking about these things. Be journaling. I'm a big fan of journaling. I don't do it near enough. I tell all my clients to do it, but I know it makes a difference. I know it's very helpful. Be a young man who journals and writes these things down and the visions that you have and whatnot going into the future. We're passionate about this because we want you to have great marriages. I work with far too many marriages that fall apart, and I look at it and I go, yeah, it's because the guy didn't have his own sense of self. He's just beholden to his wife. He has no self-esteem, or he doesn't have a faith, and the wife is begging him to lead the family, and he's too busy on the computer for, you know, 3 hours at night every time he gets home, and the kids are just clamoring for dad to play with them, and he doesn't want to, and, you know, he has no vision as to where the family's going to go. Like, I work with these problems, and so I see the end results of these not being in place. That's why I'm passionate about these being must-haves, or the support system where, well, yeah, I kind of burnt bridges with my family. I haven't talked to my dad in like 10 years. And, you know, my mom, I think I talked with her like 2 years ago, but it's been a long time. That's horrible. Have a support system. Stay close to those that you're connected with. So, again, yeah, I could go off and on, or go on and on.
We've gone another 30 minutes on this, yeah.
We've gone long enough. Please take these seriously. If you are preparing for marriage, good for you. Enjoy it. Have a ton of fun with it, but just consider these things. So, anything else?
Nothing else.
All right, we're going to wrap right there. This has been episode 96, correct? 96 of the Godly Amen podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.